It's the first Station X get-together of the year 2014, and I'm stood with Lynn Jones at the National Museum of Computing, which is where we are hosting Station X. And today there's been a multitude of different people from different backgrounds coming to enjoy geekery, talk, coffee, and a pile of biscuits I was so thankful for because I got stuck in traffic on the way here. Lynn, what's been happening and what is going to be happening here in the not-too-distant future?
Right, at the moment we're in refurb mode, so we've got a couple of the galleries shut down for painting and decorating, and the witch is under wraps while we do all this. But next weekend it should luckily, hopefully, all turn up and be turned on and working again.
Just to explain the witch to people who are now picturing a very pointy-hatted, angry lady under wraps.
Yeah, no, the Harwell Decatron computer is its original name. It's iconic in that it's the world's original, oldest working original digital computer, and it's a real draw for people. But we had to do that gallery up, because take the suspended ceiling down and just decorate and make it look a bit more presentable. And also the EDSAC replica project are moving in this month as well, so we needed to clear the space and get it ready for them to start their work on building the machine.
Another interesting potential draw for people, he says, wanting to throw in a pun, was you've got a robot arm drawing pictures in sand that you very kindly demoed to us earlier on. What's that for?
Well, actually, we got that from the Google Gallery at the Science Museum. It was given to us by Google when they were taking it apart, the exhibition. And so a couple of our volunteers have spent a week or so trying to get it all working. And it's fantastic to see the pictures being drawn in the sand. But we've got all sorts of ideas for getting it up and running.
And also there was talk of bridging online with physical space and having people in remote locations operating the arm whilst you might be walking around the room that it's exhibited in. But the most interesting of virtual stories today, I thought, were from Chris. What's his last name?
Chris Monk. He's our learning coordinator.
And he spends time here teaching and educating children, I believe.
Yes, we're heading for 4,000 students this year, which is an amazing number. But him and his team do a fantastic job. And all the students get a chance to code on the BBC Micros in the classroom. But while we've got some downtime, we've sort of like not booked any schools for these 2 weeks while we do refurb. He's taking this time to do some other projects he's been dying. The geek in him has been dying to get stuck into, including this open sim, doing Block H, the world's first purpose-built computer centre, because it's also a museum artefact. So
people don't realise this. That, I mean, this is why it feels so right as well for Station X, a bunch of computer-enabled geeks meeting in the National Museum of Computing. And the history here, the world's first, say that again.
World's first purpose-built computer centre. Block H was built in Bletchley Park in 1944 to house 6 Colossus machines. And it's so great that we can carry on that story. This was Tony Sale's dream. You know, when he rebuilt Colossus, he wanted to carry on telling the story, the history of development of computing, to keep Bletchley Park dynamic. The story shouldn't just be about the wartime, which is important, but we need to show the enterprise and innovation that went on in Bletchley Park during the war and carry that forward.
And what better way to get a picture of how technology has helped in the past and how it enables us now than by drawing those comparisons and saying, look at what we did. And what I find fascinating is the talk of these virtual worlds that are being built now in OpenSim, which if you're not familiar with it, is pretty much identical to I guess you'd call it an open source Second Life, so you're not relying on Second Life and Second Life infrastructure. And they're talking about not only rebuilding the museum and rebuilding areas of Bletchley Park which no longer exist, and being able to lift a phone to your face and seeing these places also come to life in front of you, but the actual potential recreation of computers, which used to be so big you could walk around and through them. That, I don't think that's ever been done, has it, in a virtual space?
I don't think so. Now, we've got all the machines here and access. I mean, we've got Flossie away in storage. If we could get her out of storage and take photos and get her up on the open sim, we will then be able to show people what Flossie would have looked like.
wonderful to get an actual feeling of scale whilst being stood before. And I know a lot of kids, when they come and see Witch here, think it's huge, but not in comparison.
No. If you think that Flossie, the ICT 1301 from 1960 is actually 5.5 tons and took up 700 square feet, so a big computer in its day. And
we're standing next to one in my hand right now, a computer which is, I don't know, how many iPhones you could put into the space of something like that. Phenomenal.
Millions or billions, I think, yes. Yeah, so, telling that story and sort of using virtual reality to explore that and to show people is a good way to go, because we have finite space within Block H, so it's another way of showing the rest of our collection.
Well, your doors always seem to be open here. Even over the Christmas period, you were running workshops and programmes, which I hear have been a great success. Very much thank you again for opening the doors to us here today. Where can people go to find out opening times and when would be the best time to actually come to the physical National Museum of Computing?
Yes, the website is TNMOC, that's the acronym for the National Museum of Computing, .org. And if you go there, you can see all the opening times and all the events of what's going on. We're hoping over Easter to run another event of Easter Bites, where we'll get all the toys out again, the games consoles, the Lego EV3. I mean, over the Christmas Bites, the 5 days, we had 90 kids came here to play with the Lego, with their dads, of course, as well. And it was a real great success to have this meeting room buzzing with Lego.
I wish I could see the faces on some of the dads, because I hear a lot of the kids were like, why didn't I get any of this for Christmas? It's far more interesting than what I actually got from Santa.
Yes, we had quite a few comments. Oh, I don't want a PS4, I want one of these. Yes.
Fantastic. It just goes to show how we love to build, create and make. And let's hope we can do a lot more of that here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's great to have the crew here, because they've got lots of ideas. So that's what we've got, lots of ideas. Our volunteers are sort of like really passionate and loads of ideas. Now we need resources. We don't need money per se. We need people to come and turn these ideas into reality, to physically come in and get them stuck in and help us achieve the the ambition of this museum is to get as many people through the door as possible. That's our aim, and we just need people to come and help do that. And we have an open door policy. People come and help us and get involved.
Brilliant. Well, thanks again, Lynn. And you are on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, it's at Lynn Jones, LINJONES.
Yeah, tweet her, make her use it more.
I will, I'm sorry, yeah. I'll set myself some limits this month so that I actually...
Some goals are better than limits.
Limits, yes, goals, yeah. Targets. Yeah. I will aim to tweet once a day.
So you heard that, people, you can ask Lynn Jones, LINJONES, anything about the National Museum of Computing.
That would be good. It would trigger me into getting into the habit of doing it. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you again.
Thanks, Christian.